Hi, I'm Christine, and welcome to XOXO Christine, where we have honest and candid conversations about transformations, breakthroughs, and how we live our best life right now. We'll get from the I'm not good enough and I don't know what I'm doing, to knowing and embracing your own self-worth, and fully stepping into your purpose. Yes! And welcome back to another episode of XOXO Christine. I am Christine, and I am so excited for this episode in that Valentine's Day is just around the corner. This is a topic that I love to talk about, and I keep saying the word love because lo and behold, today's topic is about self-love. And what does that really mean? What is it? Why is it important? And how do you self-love yourself? You know, there's so much talk about self-love, especially nowadays where I think people are being more aware of it and the importance of it is, I'm so glad, being talked about. But a lot of times it sounds like, I don't know, maybe like a far-off type of thing. It sounds nice. It sounds pretty. It sounds floral. It sounds like people who do yoga, who meditate and are completely zen about life. But in your daily life, you know, you're kind of like, how does that apply? How does that apply when my boss is screaming at me, when I'm failing out of my classes, when I hate my life, I hate my job, me and my boyfriend or me and my girlfriend are constantly at each other's throat, everything pisses the other person off? How does self-love fit into that? Well, that is exactly why I wanted to do this topic. And I felt like, you know, there's no better time than around Valentine's Day when love is the hot word and topic of February. And a lot of people start feeling a certain way if they don't have a significant other. A lot of things are questioned about yourself. And what does that mean? Society tells me that I should be with somebody. I mean, I want to be with somebody. Or even if you're in a relationship, sometimes it's being brought to the forefront of, are you really happy in this relationship? Are you fulfilled? Are you being satisfied? Are you satisfying the other person? Are you enough? All these questions, right? Because love really brings out those emotions and all those things to light. So what is self-love? Let's just jump into it. What does it really mean? And of course, I mean, obviously, since it's just me here, my definition of self-love is really being kind to yourself and learning to appreciate who you are, who your true self is, and allowing yourself and giving yourself permission to learn, grow, fall, experience life in all the messy and beautiful stages and ways. You know, it's really a sense of forgiveness and not being so hard on yourself and providing that for yourself versus looking outwardly for somebody else to give you that. It's giving yourself permission and validating who you are, your thoughts, your feelings versus looking for that elsewhere. So really understanding that self-love is from a state of growing from your actions and growing and supporting your physical, your mental, emotional levels. It extends to so many different parts of ourselves and how we show up in the world. And that in itself affects other people. We know when we are feeling pissed, feeling out of it, and we bring that into somebody else's life, whether it's even at the grocery store. You know, someone bumps into you, someone looks at you in a certain way, and you feel the need to retaliate or to release that frustration. That all really stems from self-love, because self-love really is about self-awareness. You become aware of your internal thoughts, what you're telling yourself, how you're intaking and accepting other people's energies into your life, and how you're letting that affect you. And a lot of that comes from judgment, a place of judgment of yourself and what you fear how others will judge you. We're constantly in our own heads about things. That soundtrack, it's constantly playing in the background of our heads, whether we're aware of it or not. It's always saying, be small, protect yourself. You're interpreting and labeling things a certain way from the filter that you see life as. And that may not be the truth. Our filters and how we see life is really a combination of how we're brought up, our environment, and the things that we intake from our life experiences. That's why one person can see life as half full and the other sees it as half empty. But what is reality? So it really is how you choose to see the world and understanding that you have a choice in the matter. Life can either be a series of really crappy things happening to you over and over and over again, or you can see it as it's there to teach you the lessons to help you become a better human being. In simplistic terms, is the glass half full or half empty? But on a deeper level, it is how you choose to see how the world is either working for you or working against you, because either way, it can be true. When you start to see the world in that way of it's tough, it's difficult, it's unfair, then you will always look for evidence that supports that, because it's there. It's there. You can see a situation and be like, ha, see, she was born way prettier than me. Oh, she would be favored at work because the boss likes her more, or like, you know, they have a connection in that way and I don't have that. So there's evidence all over the place to support either side. Or you can choose to look at it in like, okay, I didn't get hired again. I went for these interviews, but they didn't hire me. They hired somebody else. So instead of looking at it as your shortcoming, you're not enough, that means you're never going to be successful. It's easy to be in that state of mind when stuff like that happens. And I'm totally not trying to invalidate your feelings or thoughts when those things happen. It's totally normal. And actually, everybody experiences that. But you give it some time, marinate on it, and then come to a place of a rational state of, okay, so I didn't get this opportunity. I didn't get that job. Perhaps that means my path is meant elsewhere. Perhaps there's something else that is waiting for me. And through this interview, I realized that they were asking about a lot of experiences that I don't have, or a lot of skills that I don't feel like I'm up to par yet. Well, then you can use this time. There are classes, you can Google everything. There's ways to grow and improve on those skills. And it's not a reflection of how you're not good enough. Everyone has to start somewhere. And when you see life as an opportunity, or those type of lessons as opportunities, then you will also find evidence that these are opportunities, and opportunities will come to you. Just like if you see light in that way of it's tough, it's hard, then life will continue to be hard and tough for you. So bringing it back to self-love, it is being aware of your thoughts as it's happening, as you're thinking of it, versus reacting to things and not really thinking about why. Why is this a trigger for me? I'm going through that right now. As I'm becoming more aware, I'm becoming very aware of my triggers. When before, I would just be like, oh, this pisses me off, so I'm going to react accordingly. Now I'm like, why? Why am I upset about that? Why do I feel a certain way about that? And I realized like a trigger for me is respect, and how I interpret and accept respect. It's not a reflection of other people. It's how I interpret if they respect or don't respect me. And that, digging deeper, is a reflection of how I think I don't deserve respect. I don't think I'm good enough. So when people treat me, I perceive that they're treating me with disrespect, when in reality, it's just me projecting my insecurities on them. Because I'm like, oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not saying things in a certain way. All of that, yes, it gets really deep. There's a lot of layers to that, but I'm aware of it now because it's a trigger. And being self-aware of it when it happens at that moment, I now am exercising that muscle of telling myself, that's not true. It is totally not true. This is totally something that you're fabricating in your head. And you have been projecting that on other people when it's really, they're not doing anything. So in that moment, choose to find words to be kind to myself. I tell myself, you're a great person. You're kind, you're genuine, your intentions are true. My knowledge and skills may be different from other people, but that doesn't diminish me or them. It's just different. And then when I really calm down and marinate on that, and I'm able to let it go. And I know when I exercise that muscle more and more, that won't be a trigger anymore, because I know that it's not true. The soundtrack becomes less and less, because it's like, that's not true. The reason why it's even playing is because I believe it. It's because it served me in the past, where I'm like, oh, protecting myself. I just start pointing outwards and blaming. And I feel like I get to put the onus on somebody else, so I don't have to take responsibility for my own actions. So in that sense, I get a momentarily sense of relief, you know, like, oh, I'm feeling all this anger, so I'm releasing all that anger on this other person. But really, it stays with me. And I know, I hate that feeling. I really hate that feeling afterwards where I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have said that. Or, wow, I totally misinterpreted that, really wasn't what it was. I do eventually reach that point. But now the only difference is I'm becoming self-aware and I'm being kind and compassionate to myself. And one of the biggest things about self-love is understanding and accepting the fact that it's okay to put yourself first. I know so many people, and I'm one of those people, where serving others really fulfills us. I am definitely one of those people who gives and gives and gives and gives. I mean, I've talked about my depression a lot, and it will be a point of reference in a lot of future episodes because it was a tough lesson to learn for me in the results and consequences of not taking care of myself. I had this false narrative in my head that, you know, when you put yourself first, you're being selfish. But it's a different type of prioritizing yourself. It's prioritizing your mental, your physical, and your emotional well-being, because that well will run dry when you keep giving, giving, and giving. And from my experience, you burn out. Then you have nothing left to give. Versus people who come from a place of self-love and really replenish that within, they can keep giving and give genuinely. Versus me, after I gave and gave and gave, there was an expectation and resentment. I'm like, wow, I keep giving and giving and giving, and you never think about me. You always think about yourself, whatever's convenient for you. And I started feeling resentful, and I carry that resentment. It became really heavy. And of course, it added to this whole depression state because my mind, body, and soul just needed rest because I was not taking care of myself. Taking time for yourself, it really, at the end of the day, is so that you can really show up as your most true and authentic self, because that is your truest state. Without worry of judgment, what other people may think, you're silencing your inner critic, or at least telling them, hey, thank you for showing up, but I don't need you right now. It doesn't serve me. That is your truest state, where you're able to just put all your inhibitions aside and speak your own truth. And that really comes from self-love. And that really goes into why is self-love important. It's only natural in how you treat yourself, what you tell yourself. It manifests in how you treat others. When you're able to be kind to yourself, have compassion, and know that you're trying your hardest, it does release so much of those pent-up emotions that we suppress, like anger, resentment, fear. When you release it, you actually are able to see, like, oh my gosh, all of that was just all in my head. None of it was true, which is why I said before, so much of us project our own insecurities on other people. So the fear of getting cheated on because you feel like you're not enough. So then when your boyfriend or girlfriend says they're going to go out with other people, or you feel like they're spending more time at work, or you're not being prioritized, it's because you're interpreting that as, oh my God, I'm not enough. They'd rather spend their time with other people doing other things. And it spins. Right? And then really when you stop and actually take the time to ask them. And a lot of times, because we're so bought into our own insecurity that we're like, no, it's true. That even when someone tells us their truth, we're unwilling to accept it because we're so bought into our truth to protect ourselves. And I understand. I totally understand where that comes from. Yes, of course, there are times where someone confirms that insecurity, that, yeah, maybe that person's like, maybe I'm not in love with you as much as I was before. Maybe I'm falling out of love. And that hurts. Of course it hurts. And yes, that is the part of being vulnerable that people are most scared of, because you're at your most raw. But really, if you think about it, and again, taking it back to how you see the world through your filter, it actually is a very telling moment. Let's say your boyfriend or girlfriend says, you know, maybe I'm not as into you as much. And it's hurtful to face that, but there's a release there. At least it's there. At least it's said. What can we do about it? Do we want to fight for our relationship? What is or isn't working? And then you guys have the choice whether or not you want to improve on it. And it could be an even better relationship than what you guys have been settling with. And if the conclusion is that actually there's nothing that can be done, in hindsight later on, you'll see that there's a reason why that relationship didn't work out. What did you learn from that? What did you take away from that? How did you give and receive love? What spoke to you? All those things are great questions to reflect on. And in time, obviously when you're healing, you'll get there. And self-love is also important because with all of that, you're able to understand that you're responsible for your own happiness. And you're not giving that power to anybody else. Nobody else is responsible for your own happiness. It's empowering. I think oftentimes it can be scary because we can be our own worst critic. Well, if I can't even love myself, I need to get it from somewhere else. So I need to get love. And I understand that and that need. And obviously how movies and media portray love, and it's all beautiful, fantasy, hazy, and worry-free. The whole Jerry Maguire, you complete me. I just think that's so dangerous because no one can complete you, because completion comes from within. If you're unable to give that to yourself, you cannot fully receive that from somebody else. You accept the love that you think you deserve, plain and simple. Through life experience, it becomes more and more clear. That's what happened to me. I dated a lot of people, and I just realized the quality of love I was receiving and giving was becoming poorer and poorer and poorer with each passing relationship, because my self-worth was becoming poorer and poorer and poorer. So I just felt like I don't even deserve someone like that. I may not have consciously said it out loud because I didn't want to admit it to myself at the time, but I think it was something that I feared. I definitely knew, even with my first boyfriend, I was like, I mean, of all the people, why did he choose me? He may break up with me at any time when he realizes that anyone else is better than me. With each breakup and each fight and situation I had with these guys, it just lowered my own self-esteem and fed into that narrative that I was telling myself that I'm not special, I'm not good enough, he's gonna leave you, he's gonna find out you're an imposter. It's inevitable, it's just with time. So how I protected myself was to break up with them first and then blame them for it. I realized that really contributed to this whole concept of me being responsible for my own happiness. I was doing it to myself. I was picking these guys. There was a pattern in myself that I wanted external validation. I took it wherever I thought I could receive it. But because I was unable to believe in my own self-worth, that I am special, that I am worthy of love, and who I am as myself, at my rawest form with my perfectly imperfect imperfections, I'm worthy of love. I need to love myself first. That's what I realized. And I took 6 years to really love myself and to be comfortable with me. And it's like when you're with your friend, someone that you really love, you can be as awkward and weird as you like because you're free of judgment. You're like, oh, he or she's gonna love me regardless. They already know how weird I am. You actually sit in silence with that person and be comfortable in it, versus like with some people that you don't really know, you're like, I have to like keep the conversation going and keep them interested and make them feel like I have something to offer. But to sit with yourself in silence and be comfortable and spend 10 minutes with yourself, no expectations. You don't have to perform for yourself. You don't have to prove anything to yourself. We know ourselves the best. Knowing that you have a choice in choosing your own happiness, taking responsibility for that, and yeah, what are you doing? What are the patterns? What are the cycles that you're putting yourself in and the lies that you're buying into, and really understanding what is your truth versus the world's truth. And then forgiving yourself. I think forgiveness, I'm learning, is a huge part of my journey, and understanding that forgiveness is, for me, it's showing yourself compassion, that you're not perfect. It's okay. We go through the tough lessons to learn and be better. It's not a reflection of how you're not good enough. It's okay to trip and falter in life. Everyone does. This is how we learn. You know, and I think I used to walk away just being so heavy and hard on myself and just unwilling to let it go. Yes, out of principle, because the other person I felt like did me wrong. But a lot of it too was because I didn't want to forgive myself, because I felt like, you could have done better. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? See, you deserved it. He or she spoke to you in that way, or you guys erupted and fought because of you. You're not good enough. If you were so-and-so, this wouldn't have happened. And I want to teach myself that lesson, so I hold on to that. That's my way of protecting myself. But really, it's hurting me. Practicing self-love in those situations is actually the best way to learn. That's really the beginning process of validating yourself. You don't need to seek it elsewhere. I don't need for that person to apologize to me for me to release myself from that. It would be great, but I can't control if that person sees it that way, or quite honestly, where I am now, it's like if I take responsibility for my own actions in the whole ordeal, they don't actually have to apologize to me. That's not a factor in it at all. It's me forgiving myself and letting it go for me. So how do you self-love? How do you love yourself? We touched upon a couple of things in this episode already, like how to treat yourself like how you treat your friend, someone that you really love, being kind, exhibiting the same type of kindness and generosity that you would for them for yourself. It's a good practice when you're coming from a place of just total self-negativity and being really hard on yourself. And sometimes it can be hard, like accepting a compliment when all your life you've been like, no, no, no. I know that you're too kind, but I'm not like that. Someone's like, no, take my compliment. And you're like, oh God, okay, thank you. But once you really accept it and try it, it becomes natural. You're like, yes, you know what? That person is actually thanking me because, you know, that's how kind they are. But they're also speaking truth. I'm not being arrogant about it. That's a form of self-love, accepting compliments that you give yourself and that you're not just trying to hype up your ego. In fact, you're countering your negative inner critic in like, hey, you keep saying I'm not good enough. You keep saying I'm stupid and I'm not pretty and I'm not worthy. Well, actually, I am because I have a good soul. I went out of my way. I put the grocery cart back. I didn't just leave it in the middle of the parking lot. I actually put it back. I'm a good person. I smiled at someone. I gave someone a compliment. I am kind to other people. You have good intentions. Who you are special. Owning that. You were born special. Physical, mental, emotional, your intuition, it's all special and unique to you. And really accepting that you have a specific purpose and you are here to fulfill that. You are fulfilling that. It's by showing up as your best self in the world. And also another thing is speaking your truth. Start with yourself, really digging in deep and being honest with yourself. And yes, some things may be super uncomfortable to admit and face. That's probably the reason why you didn't want to go there and it's been buried in for so long. But it doesn't mean it's not there and doesn't mean it goes away. It comes out in other ways. Whatever you're trying to suppress, just remember it comes out in other ways. It bleeds through. So whether you're aware of it or not, sometimes you totally overreact. It's because of these things that you're suppressing and you don't know where it's coming from. So when you speak your truth, you're starting someplace with yourself and you see it for what it is. And when you do that, you're starting the process of accepting yourself, your thoughts, what's unique to you and who you are. You're doing yourself a service in like, okay, so it's there. This is how I think. Then you actually can examine it and be like, is this my truth? Is this who I really am? Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that happiness is only after I achieved all these things? Me pursuing this career, is that for me or is it for my family? Is it to keep up in life? Is it because society, people will think better of me? And you get really dissect that. And from a place of acceptance of your thoughts grows to appreciation. You start appreciating that these things are genuinely you. After you filter through the things, right? You KonMari yourself. What sparks joy? What is truth? What isn't? You really can learn to appreciate that this is who you are. This is how you're special. This is how you are unique. In that, you can really bring in the broader perspective of you are generations of people accumulated to this one point in time that is you. All these factors came into play for you to exist and thrive in life. It's not an accident. It's not something that you just get through the day. This is your life. This is you. How are you showing up? And that the skills and quote-unquote imperfections that the world labels as imperfections are your blessings. They're your greatest assets. And what I realized too is you have to learn to be brave. Because a lot of times what is innate in us, what our truth is quite the opposite of what society and the world teaches us and preaches to us. So a lot of times we squash that, we push it aside. That's why we don't listen to our gut, we don't listen to our intuition because it doesn't align with what other people are saying and what we're taught. And then you're that person in the room that's like, excuse me, I don't agree with that. And everyone looks at you and thinks you're weird and thinks you're crazy, you know, and like prove it. And then if you don't really come from a place of knowing yourself and knowing your self-truth, then you feel like, what am I talking about? I'm not good enough to back that up. Why am I saying these things? And then so you don't raise your hand, you don't speak up. Perhaps you were made to speak up in that moment to spur something, to spur change. And that thought comes from you, not from anybody else in the room, but from you. And I really honestly felt that way at Wang Fu and everybody at Wang Fu at the time too. Everyone brought something different into the room. And for me at the time, I was the only girl. My time at WANF really highlighted the fact that what was innate in me was that I was a woman. And I also really love to communicate and share my thoughts. I'm not someone that can hold and suppress what I really feel. I will voice it. That's how I was different from everybody else at WANFU at the time. And it wasn't by coincidence. I could have come in at a whole different time and the circumstances could have been totally different. So that's how I showed up. Not necessarily executed it in the best ways, but I'm learning. So that's an example of something that you're born with that's innate in you, and you're the only person there that feels that way. It's probably for a reason, and to trust that. So what are some things that you can do right now that is all about self-love? I'm going to leave you with three things, maybe one bonus thing, things that you could do right now in your car as you're driving home, on your computer listening. First thing, tell yourself something nice about yourself once a week. If you even want to take it up a notch, take something that you say that's negative about yourself and make it nice. So I'm not smart enough. Tell yourself that you are smart, you are capable, and you are successful. It's not a lie. It is true. Honestly, it is true. You have to reframe and structure your mind to pull evidence to support that. Try once a week, then eventually twice a week, and then upping that amount. And then pretty soon it will be every day. And then pretty soon it won't be just when you need it the most. Your internal well is full. You've been working out that muscle, so you're able to pull from that when you need it the most, or sometimes when you just are walking around in life and you feel your inner critic starting to creep up. You start exercising that. Tell yourself something nice about yourself right now. Be kind to yourself. Number two, do something kind for yourself once a week. Take a 10-minute walk outside. Treat yourself to ice cream, to milk tea. Go paint. Give yourself 10 minutes to be creative. It could be longer. I'm saying 10 minutes because you have 10 minutes in a day to do that. So really making it a point and intention to do something kind for yourself and for your soul. Go watch a movie by yourself. I've said this before, I'm perfectly imperfect. Do it for yourself, by yourself. Number three, taking from the fact of people giving you compliments and pulling from that same mentality, marinate on the kindness that others believe and see in you and how they love you, why they love you, and really accept that. For me, for example, a hard thing for me is to accept compliments. An even harder thing is on my website. If you go to the life coaching page, the very bottom, there's a bunch of testimonials from my friends. And basically, I had to ask them if they could write a testimonial for me about our friendship, our experience together, and how they think I could help others, how I show up, who I am. Just what are your thoughts about me? What are your true thoughts about me? And really taking the time for me to accept all the things that they're saying. Because oftentimes, just like a compliment, I brush it off. I'm like, oh no, of course they would say that. They're trying to be nice. They're good people. Of course they would say those things. But choosing to really read and see it for myself and being like, that's so kind of them. And they make me sound so great. Instead of they make me sound, it's I am those things. I am kindness. I am authentic. I do care about people, all these things that make me who I am. I do have good intentions. And a good exercise that we did in life coaching class is that you call someone in your life and have them name three things that they love about you and admire about you. It's weird. It was weird. I called my brother, which is even weirder. But I thought to myself, I was like, okay, my brother of all people is not going to sugarcoat any of these things. And the things that he said actually made me cry because I was like, oh my God, oh, you do love me, So it's very empowering. And when you accept that, you're giving yourself a form of self-love. And the bonus last thing that I'll leave you in terms of self-love is investing in the well-being of yourself, which means go make that appointment with the doctor, the dentist, therapist, investing in yourself, because these are the things that will fill your well. And it's really to sustain you for long term of energy. So this is a marathon, guys. This is not a sprint in life. So these are the things that you can implement right now. And I'm going to plug myself right here, where right now I'm offering free life coaching sessions until May. So if you go to my website and you go to the life coaching page, you'll see all that information there. And only till May am I offering free life coaching sessions. And you can see what life coaching is all about. We talk about you. The whole four sessions are all about you. Like, this is it. You know, it's just an investment of your time and believing that you're worthy of that time to talk about yourself for your own mental, physical, and emotional well-being. On another level too, it's, you know, for $5 a month to become a patron on XOXO Christine is another investment in yourself and in building a community. Patreon, I've explained it in my first episode, and also there's a video on my website as well as my Patreon page, which is XOXO Christine. I explain what I'm trying to do with Patreon, and it's to create a community where people can share their stories, and it's happening right now on Discord and through our community and the posts and all that. The level of conversations, the depth and kindness and generosity that people are sharing with one another, I'm blown away. I am so blown away, and it fills me to the brim of fulfillment and happiness and helping you realize that you are beautiful and perfect the way that you are. And these are people here to remind you and share their stories of their struggles, of things that they've learned, the lessons that they're implementing right now. And it's just so fulfilling. And it definitely is an investment in your self-love and also giving back to something bigger than yourself, which is spreading that love and joy to other people and showing up as your true self. And that knowing that you can make a huge difference and impact in someone's life by being who you are. So these are just some of the tools that you can implement in your own life right now. Before I end it, I wanted to give a shout out to my XOXO family on Patreon. These are the people that are there right now and sharing their thoughts, really getting the privilege of interacting and knowing them, and they're so special. So I want to thank Anne-Marie, Alan, Jack, Ashley, Adels, Christina, Jenny, James, Jessica, Joanna, Jonathan, Joshua, Karen, Lily, Michael, Nikita, Pei, Rainbow, Reed, Sarah, Shelby, Shang, and Sylvia. Thank you guys so much, so much, and just being beautiful people and beautiful souls. On that note, I want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I will say this, it shows the type of people that you really are, because the type of people that are listening and sticking through this entire episode and content and has stuck through Perfectly Imperfect and all those topics that we talked about really shows your true character, what you're searching for, your level of consciousness, and how you're striving to be better. So please take what I'm saying, and you can use that as step three of marinating on what others think of you. You know, you're a kind, you're generous, you have so much to offer, and truly special individual. So thank you so much. I love you all so much. Happy Valentine's Day. Just know that you are loved. You are loved by me and so many other people. You are worthy of love from yourself. And you are a complete, beautiful human being just as you are. You can tell that I've like been talking for an hour straight because my voice is starting to do the thing. So, all right. I love you all so much, and I will see you next week. Hugs and kisses. Bye.